Welcome to the Matt Madelon Report. I'm Jerry Price. I'm joined by head men's lacrosse coach Matt Madelon. And coach, welcome aboard.
Happy to be back.
A happy weekend last weekend in Charlottesville for your team as the Tigers defeated the defending national champ 16-12. Big win for you and your program. And it doesn't really mean much now as you have to look ahead to another top team, Johns Hopkins, that comes to Sherrod Field for a face-off at 1 o'clock on Saturday. We'll talk a lot about both games, but let's talk a little bit about the challenge that you face now that your team is dealing with success. And a long time ago, somebody said, he was actually the head men's basketball coach at the College of New Jersey at the time, Donnie Marsh. He said, the hardest thing in sports to do is win the game after the game. And so you have a big win, and now you have a very good team coming here, and you have a team that's now learning to handle success. What has that been like?
Yeah, I mean, that guy's probably spot on in terms of that saying. We feel that a little bit, but we take one game at a time and one week at a time. We're very fortunate. I mean, look, we played three games in 8 days, and to go down and beat a very good opponent down in Charlottesville, it was awesome for our guys. It was great. It was great for our program. It was a huge challenge, actually, because, you know, our first two games were home, and then when we actually go on the road, we have an Ivy League mandated travel roster, and we're only allowed to travel 32 players. So we had to go down for a third game in 8 days with, you know, 66% of our roster. So we were only allowed to travel 32 healthy guys, and it's a really challenging opportunity. It's a really challenging to go down there and play a 55, 60 person team with only 32 guys. So we're still trying to fight that rule, and I think they're making moves to adjust that. And I do understand the travel restrictions and the Ivy travel rules. But nonetheless, that was a big step for our program to be able to do that without our full team. Then to come back on Monday, get back to work with the full unit. It was awesome. So our guys have the page turned and they are very focused towards this weekend.
Well, let's go back to Virginia. Let's start with what you were just talking about. It had to make you feel good that when the bus rolled into the Jadwin parking lot, the rest of the guys were there waiting for it.
Yeah, it's 10:30, 11 o'clock at night on Saturday evening. That means the world to me and our program. You know, that says a lot about our culture and our guys and how much they care for each other. And that was a proud moment for us.
So let's talk about the game itself. And all of the attention focuses on Michael Sowers, but really that game could have gotten away from you quickly had Eric Peters he made three or four saves in the first maybe 6 or 7 minutes of that game, and all of them were point-blank, really tough shots against a Virginia team that wants to bully you a bit. And if they got out on top of you, maybe they're able to do that. And I think the saves that Eric made to keep those goals off the board really, really made the difference in the game.
Yeah, I know they did. I think you're spot on. Both goalies for both teams played very well that game. But Virginia, and I don't have the stats in front of me, but they outscore their opponents at an alarmingly rate in the first quarter. So for us to be able to withstand that barrage, you know, and just stay steady and stay true to our game plan, and Eric Peters absolutely helped that out. You know, he had a heck of a game.
So your team, in recent years, your team has played a lot of top-ranked teams, top 10 teams, and played them well. But those games have gotten away in the fourth quarter usually. This time, that game was 13-10. Michael Sowers has a wide-open net, and Alex Rode from Virginia makes one of the best saves I've ever seen a goalie make. And then they come back and get two goals. Now it's 13-12, and your team completely turned it around from there, clamped down on them the rest of the way, and scored the final three of the game to win 16-12. What's the difference as you get into the middle of the fourth quarter, one goal at Virginia this year, with maybe some of the experience you've had before?
I think experience is it. I mean, we had the same exact guys on the field at the end of the game last year that we did this year. The guys just had a year of experience under their belt, and they had the confidence to make the plays, and they did just that. I mean, look, Virginia's an outstanding team, and for them to put that 10-man ride on us, they were doing it all game, but for them to really turn up the heat on it and get a game from 13-10 to 13-12 is the mark of a good team. I mean, that's incredible to be able to turn that pressure up on an opponent and get those turnovers. And our guys didn't handle it well. You know, we messed up a handful of times and, you know, threw away a couple clearing balls and made some really poor decisions under pressure. And, you know, to your point, the guys just kind of stayed the course and put their head down and made the next play and were able to make the next play and the next one and close that game out.
So when it's 13-12 after you'd had a four-goal lead at 12-8 and then a three-goal lead at 13-10, gets to be 13-12, they have a lot of momentum and they have a possession after that. What are you thinking? Is it, you know, confidence? Is it here we go again? Is it you know, just so focused on what's going on at the field at that moment? What's going through a coach's head?
I mean, at that moment, I'm just trying to help my guys make the next play. You know, there's no point in dwelling on anything that had happened at any other point rather than what's going on right in front of you. So we just kind of focused on helping our guys get the next clear, get the ball down on the offensive end, you know, and kind of take a shot from there. So it was good. All everyone, full 32, all coaches, everyone was helping the unit, and they got it done.
So I thought the biggest difference in that game, not just the saves that Peters made or Sowers having 8 points or Chris Brown and Phillip Robertson have 4 goals each, I thought the biggest thing about that game is the way that your entire team defense physically matched up with Virginia's offense was just as athletic as they were and just swarmed to everything. And maybe they didn't play perfectly, but they played hard for 60 minutes. And every time the ball was down at that end of the field, they were playing hard and they were playing physically and they were playing fast.
Yeah, I mean, look, you're spot on. Our defense was more physical. They were faster. They did a great job of closing out on ground balls. But we were on a short week of prep. We knew we couldn't prepare for everything that Virginia does. So we focused more on making sure our effort was there, making sure our energy was there. And then when in doubt, if we found ourselves in the gray, just playing the gray very, very, very hard.
So Michael Sowers gets to 4 goals, 4 assists, 8 points, gives him 288 for his career. He's in 16th place all time in Division I history. 18th place. If he gets to 300, he'll be the 16th player to get to 300 career points. You know, we talk a lot about the milestones that Michael has had. He had a really big game against Virginia, the great feed to Phillip Robertson on the goal that made it 14-12. Let's talk about Chris Brown. Chris Brown, 4 goals and assists, brings him to 100 career points. He's the second player in Princeton history to have a streak of at least 30 consecutive games with a goal. You know, we've said this before. If he was not playing next to Michael Sowers, he's in the All-America conversation.
Yeah, he should be. I mean, he's awesome. He's a heck of an attackman. He does a lot for us in all parts of the game. The transition piece, 6-on-6, man up. So
leads the team in ground balls?
He does. He did 6 offensive ground balls against Virginia, which is an incredible stat. That's remarkable.
And then you have Phillip Robertson, who 12 goals in 3 games. He's sort of back to where he was 2 years ago, and he's just such a perfect complement to Michael Sowers. But when you can get that kind of production out of your starting attack sort of game after game, it's a big benefit.
It is. Those guys they're a great unit. They've developed a wonderful chemistry. And look, we all know, you know, we know Michael Sowers is going to be the focal point of not only our team, but opposing teams' game plan. And it's how mature we are with that knowledge and how much we understand that and how much we can take advantage of the other 5 guys as well as the Sowers matchup. So I think that's where our team's going to continue to grow over the next little while, is really just, you know, understand how to manage possessions with the focal point being on 22 and using that as team leverage. So they're doing a nice job. Coach Mitchell's doing a really nice job.
And, you know, you mentioned the experience from 1 year to the next, and you have a lot of guys, sophomores, who have taken a step up. But I think through 3 games at least, if you're looking for the most improved player on the team, it might be Connor McCarthy. He's been very solid in the first midfield for the first 3 games, had some big plays against Virginia. Just talk about where he is as a senior now.
Sure. Connor's an outstanding player. You know, physically he's a specimen, athletically super talented, very two-handed. So he's a heck of a lacrosse player. He's been a little nicked up throughout his career. You know, he missed the fall. So you're kind of just getting the early stages of Connor McCarthy. We hope his game continues to develop and grow. And he's playing a little bit of a vanilla game right now, and that works within our unit. You know, I'm sure we'll lean on him more down the stretch.
And your two juniors who stand out on defense, George Bond, Andrew Song, both had good games against Virginia. It's a very solid team effort. It's a lot of depth right there. But those two guys are real standouts now.
Yeah, Song and Bond are outstanding. You know, they're doing a good job for us down there. They still, you know, all these guys we've mentioned, you know, we're still so early in our season and are, you know, coming off a short preseason that all these guys hopefully have their best lacrosse ahead of them. They've got a lot of work to do and a lot of things to work on. But Song and Bond, where they've made their biggest strides is their defensive communication and just rallying that unit down there and making sure they're handling their business while helping other people's as well.
You watch Bond play and you're not going to see a more athletic guy anywhere playing defense in college lacrosse than George Bond is. And you know, he loves the physical aspect of the game. And there were so many plays that he made against Virginia that it's really hard to measure defensemen in terms of stats. He's caused turnovers and ground balls, but they don't really tell the story. And he's just such a physical presence that he just exerts his will on the game. And it's a good segue to Johns Hopkins, because in all the years that I've been watching lacrosse, the two teams that have exerted their will on the game more than any other two teams year after year after year are Johns Hopkins and Syracuse. And, you know, maybe they don't win the national championship every year, but they just have a presence when you go play those teams. And that's what Hopkins is bringing here on Saturday. In addition, they're 1-2. They're a team that's used to playing in the NCAA tournament. They're a team that has big plans for May as well. So they need wins, and they need good wins. And Princeton moving into the top 10 in all the polls is a good win now. And they're going to come here on Saturday giving you everything that they have. And what specific challenges do they present? You know, facing off at 60%, two different guys who face off. Cole Williams is a great scorer. You know, not sure how much you'll see Joey Epstein, but figure if he's even remotely close to what he can do, he's as tough a matchup as there is. You know, what do you see from the Blue Jays?
This is a loaded team. You know, offensively, they've always got incredible talent. They're extremely well coached. They're a coaching staff that's been together for a very, very long time. You know, you said it, their strengths are up the middle, you know, at the faceoff X. They're a very good job. They've got two great guys that were the two guys last year for them. They've got a goalie that's playing well right now. They took a couple off-season, out-of-season losses on the defensive end, but Coach Petro's got those guys dialed and playing hard together. So, no, this is going to be a hell of an opponent. For us, our biggest challenge is continue to grow. We've got so much to work on still. We were very fortunate to get that win down in Charlottesville, but we are still in the very early parts of our season, and we're still shoring up things on both sides of the ball and in between the lines.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, I said this to Chris Saylor on the podcast I did with her before about how she's starting her league season, and she's already played three games. You've played three games, and now you're playing Hopkins in a huge game. You're only 4 weeks into the start of practice, let alone the game.
It's remarkable. It happens. It flies by. But it keeps our guys healthy, and they're absolute pros to it.
So we were talking about rankings, and Princeton was unranked in the preseason, wasn't even receiving votes in polls. I looked at those polls and thought to myself, I can't believe Princeton is not one of the 20 best or 10 best teams in the country. But it doesn't matter where the preseason polls are. It matters what happens because you'll have plenty of opportunities to prove yourself. You've gone from unranked to, you know, pick the poll. You're in the top 10 in all of them now. What does that mean to you, if anything?
It's really nice to have recognition, you know, by our peers and by the media sources and outlets out there. And, you know, we believe in ourselves, and we're going to keep working really hard to produce each week. But we take it 1 week at a time, and, you know, we don't care unranked, ranked. We want to be playing in the Ivy League Championship, and want to have an opportunity to play in the NCAA tournament.
And this is the military appreciation game, correct?
It is.
And Princeton lacrosse, a long tradition of alums going into the military, a lot of current alums, they're all current alums, recent alums are currently in the military, active duty guys. You know, it's got to be something that's kind of important to the program to have a military appreciation day.
It's really important to the program. It's just, again, like you had made mention of it, we've got a lot of guys, you know, pursuing the Naval SEAL route. We've got Army Rangers, Green Berets. So we've got, it's really remarkable, and then not to mention a lot of other enlisted guys. So it's just, it really is. We're really proud of those guys, and just it goes to their experience at Princeton and the service piece behind it.
So active military members can get 50% off if they come to that game. You can see the website for details on that. Face-off Saturday, 1 o'clock on Sherrod Field. Princeton and Johns Hopkins, a longtime rivalry, playing out in what should be just an outstanding game. Really excited and looking forward to it. Coach, we'll be back next week to talk about that and then look ahead to the game after that, which is against Rutgers. In the meantime, congratulations on the win at Virginia and to move into the top 10. And thank you for being with us.
Thank you very much.
For Princeton Head Men's Lacrosse Coach Matt Madelon, I am Jerry Price. Thank you for being with us each week on the Matt Madelon Report. And thank you for your continued support of Princeton Men's Lacrosse.